The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of the Kiefer and Curry Show. It's Kip Kiefer. I'm Tony Curry. We get together every single week and we talk about things that we think are important to us and perhaps are important to you. And this week we're going to be talking about some National Football League and sports in general. Is it a business or is it a game? But Kip, before we get started, I want everyone to tell everyone about our big show coming up on ABC 3340 starting here in early September. I'm just beyond stoked to be working with you. Obviously in a radio capacity, but now a TV capacity. It's going to be great. Tell everybody about it, man.
Well, we are going to debut on the opening day for SEC football this year, which is Saturday, September 2nd. It will be Kiefer and Curry's starting lineup because we've got an array of shows all through the weekend and all week long, as a matter of fact, shows here on TKR and other broadcast entities that really will set the stage before the games and be your first chance to react afterwards. So our starting lineup is outstanding. We're going to have a variety of folks, including my son, Case Kiefer, who's going to come on and give you his selections, his bets against the spread every week. He's one of the foremost experts in the country.
Yes.
We're also going to have the legend of Paul Feinbaum show fame. The legend is an illustrious caller to Feinbaum for years. The show might be called Paul Feinbaum, but Tony, in actuality, it stars the legend. And he's going to come to us every week with his perspective on Alabama football, which around Birmingham, of course, is the major topic of interest. I'm also going to have appearances from a variety of others, including my one of my foremost radio partners besides yourself, Terry Quillian. We're going to have a whole cast of outstanding contributors, guests every week on the show. You've got some luminary names in mind and some other notable people that are going to come on with us. Basically, it's going to be a half hour before kickoff of the 11 o'clock window, 10:30 Saturday mornings, ABC 3340. It's going to be must-see TV to get you ready for your football weekend. We're going to have a little bit of everything.
My understanding is that ABC 3340 is actually expanding their studio space just so we can get Legend's Head inside that building. So I'm excited about that. Should be fantastic. No, it's going to be fun, man. I'm really looking forward to it. And you and I both spoke. There's so many different college football kickoff shows. We want to be something that's local, something that's different, something that brings things to the table that perhaps you couldn't get anywhere else. So we're really excited about that. I'm really excited about working with you in close proximity and doing that on a television format and a genre that you and I have never done before outside Just Want to Bet. So it's going to be super cool. All right, so there are three different particular players in the National Football League as we're getting ready to kick this thing off in college football season in less than 30 days. Jonathan Taylor, of course, with the Indianapolis Colts, who's just been an absolute rock, 1,280 yards rushing, averaging the last 3 years, 12 touchdowns per year. He catches nearly 300 yards passing every single season. The 3 years he's been on, he's got a four-year deal with Indianapolis. You got Zach Martin, who's the eight-time All-Pro. His 2 years left on his contract, making $14 million a year, which, by the way, is the eighth highest for offensive guards in the National Football League. And then something that everyone's been talking about over the last, say, year and a half, and that is the Joe Burrow situation. What's interesting about Joe Burrow is Joe's taken every dime he's made with the Cincinnati Bengals, and he's socked it away in his underwear drawer. All he does, he lives off his which is what a lot of NFL players should probably do, but he's living exclusively off his endorsement deals, which he gets a lot of in Cincinnati, which he gets more of right now than he's actually getting paid by the Cincinnati Bengals. His contract is absolutely backloaded. I don't know if you know this. He made $535,000 his first year, $780,000 his second, $895,000 his third year. He'll make just over $1 million this year. And in his fourth year, in his fifth year, which will be picked up by the Cincinnati Bengals, he makes $29 million. $23 million of that is guaranteed. So he's going to get his money. But everyone's going, wait a minute. We need to sign Joe to a long-term deal now. He hasn't even started playing his fourth season in a five-year contract. Zach Martin should say, yeah, he's still got 2 years left on his deal at $14 million. He signed that deal. And so the question continually comes out over the last 3 weeks, is this a business or is this a game? And so when I spoke to you, I said, listen, we both know it's both. But if you had to pick one side or the other, what side would that be, Kip Kiefer?
Well, I'm going to try not to give the political answers. I spent too much time for paying attention to political matters, Tony, and I want to give the political answer. For me, it's a game. For them and for the entities that put on the show, it is 100% absolutely a business. It's gotten to the point now where it's always about negotiation. And once you sign a contract, the first thing you're thinking about is just like politicians. The first thing you're thinking about when you sign a new contract is getting reelected and signing a better contract. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. And you would think that the pathway to doing that would be to go out and just completely prepare and play to the highest level possible and ensure that you're going to be very sought after by your performance. But so many of these guys feel entitled and they look around, and this is what really makes it a business to me. They look around and let's say Kip Kiefer signs a contract for $5 million a year for the next 4 years. I'm in the second year of that contract. And then I wake up one morning and hear on sports radio that Tony Curry has just signed a contract for $8 million for 4 years. And I said, well, I'm better than him, but this is not right. I want to renegotiate. That's not how it works in the conventional world, in the actual business world, but it is definitely how it works now in pro sports. We have raised a generation of tremendous athletes, but a lot of prima donnas and a lot of people that feel like that they're invaluable and that if they left a team, they would leave them in shambles and they deserve to not even play out the terms of the agreement they've made, but to also immediately start to negotiate for the next contract. And it's really unfortunate because it takes away from people's attention. I can't tell you how much, and I have loved sports radio from the day it was conceived. It was the greatest thing in the world. In fact, I'm on the road today in Fort Lauderdale. I couldn't get my TV to work on conventional channels. So I basically had my iPad playing sports talk radio overnight on ESPN radio all night long. I have to have some background noise, but most people think I'm bizarre.
I understand.
But anyway, that's what I love, but I hate that at least 75% of that is frequently intruded by talks about negotiations and contracts and people not living up to the pledge they've made. I wish this wasn't part of it. It takes away from the game, but it is absolutely business, and it is deplorable business.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and piggyback on you just a little bit and say that I think when most sports start, they were games. And then, of course, they turned into businesses as money and television began to take over those particular sports. I live next to a guy named Bob Tatarik, who used to play offensive guard for the Detroit Lions and the Buffalo Bills back in the late 50s and early 60s. And his finger showed it off. Every one of his fingers was bent in a different direction. And I would ask him, what would happen when you get banged up? He said, you get a shot in the neck or shot in the arm or shot in the finger, you go back and play. They were known as school bus drivers or school teachers because they had to work during the off season.
Oh yeah.
He said, I was making $14,000, $15,000, $17,000 a year to play in the National Football League in the '50s and early '60s before the merger. And I said, that's what I did. And then I had to go work during the off season. And listen, the National Football League and sports, Major League Baseball, the money's huge. I know that it gets on the nerves of many fans, but we're the ones paying those bills. And I think sports are so much better with the money than without the money. There's no doubt. I mean, so much so now that we like to see teams get paid more when they win. The USFL has a payment scheme where you make $60,000 a year, and if you end up winning in the football game, you make $80,000 a year. I will say this, and I went back and looked at a couple things, not to get philosophical on you, but business can exist and operate without fans. A game cannot. Business eventually ends. Games do not. And NFL football is a sport, and sport is a game. So I'm going to go with it still being a game. I just think business is a big part of what that game now is. Something that I think is really interesting, and I didn't realize this, and I don't even know if you knew about this. The NFL is recognized, according to their business stature through the IRS, as an entertainment business. Do you know what that means? That means the National Football League could legally fix their games, and there's not a damn thing we could do about it. They are essentially the WWE on their IRS forms, which is kind of scary. Obviously, it would kill their business. They would never do that. But they are known. They're not known as a business. They're known as an entertainment business. But there are two different types of games in life, and hang with me here, as explorer and philosopher James Carse brought up, and I did some research on this, finite games and infinite games. So finite games have specific boundaries, they have a clear beginning, a playing field, a certain number of players. In addition to these restrictions, they're dictated by a set of rules that are pre-established and mutually agreed upon by the players. Once the rules are established, the objective is to win. And when there's a winner, the game is over. It's a zero sum. That is a sport. If this doesn't sound like the real world for you, consider an election. The election rules are set by a constitution. The winner is decided by a vote, and there are practices that are not and are permitted by rigging of those particular election votes. Where there's a finite game, it's played for the purpose of winning, and an infinite game is played for the purpose of continuing to play, which is considered a business. And obviously, while a game continues to play over the course of years, a finite game, a game that's played in the course of 40 or 48 minutes or 60 minutes, is obviously a sport. It's really interesting because I understand that these players deserve to get paid. I understand that. I don't understand why players continually sign long-term deals knowing that in 3 or 4 years, it's not going to be enough money. And that drives me crazy. As a football fan, I'm not coming down on Joe Burrow in this situation because Joe's not fueling his fire. He is not. He just wants to play football. He's saying all the right things. He's an Ohio guy. He wants to play for the Cincinnati Bengals. He may be the only player in the history of the league that's ever wanted to play for the Bengals. And he's doing a hell of a great job. And, you want to give up the entire farm. But when I see Aaron Rodgers, who moves on to the Green Bay Packers and cuts $35 million of his contract in order to bring in a Dalvin Cook, I love that because you have to have players around you to win football games. If you've got the best quarterback, the best wide receiver, and the best running back on your same team, I'll show you a 7-10 record. You have to have offensive line. You have to have defensive line. You have to have great cornerbacks. You have to have a kicker. You have to have all these things in order to be a Super Bowl caliber championship team. And, I love the fact that Aaron Rodgers actually did that. Now, Aaron Rodgers has been playing for a long time. He's won 4 MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl. Money's probably not as important as, say, a guy who, like a Jonathan Taylor, has only been in the league for 4 or 5 years and is trying to make his niche. Then again, if you want to make money, you don't become a running back the National Football League.
Yeah, that's talking from a business standpoint. That is a very risky business because you are going to get banged up. You are going to get hurt. Your effectiveness is going to take a hit the longer and more carries that you sustain. And it's really not a sympathetic position, but you got to feel some empathy for running backs that have done remarkable things that all of a sudden in their 5th or 6th seasons are kind of yesterday's news because the business, once again, calculation comes in. This guy's been great. He's been a big reason why we've been successful, but we just can't really invest in him very long-term or very extensively going forward because his shelf life is almost up. It's like having the greatest product on the grocery store shelves, but once that expiration date hits, there's not going to be much of a market for it. Yep. Because you're kind of taking a chance. And that's, I think, the mentality from a business standpoint. And rightfully so. You can't expect loyalty. And that's another thing. If it was pure sports and pure games, there would be a lot of sentiment to reward a person who has done a great things for your franchise or your organization. But I think we live in times where that is becoming more and more rare, loyalty on both sides. Aaron Rodgers, that long association with the Packers, finally reached the point of realization last year that they're not going to invest and surround me with the cast I need. I need to go to a big money place where that might be possible. And he's, as you said, even willing to put his own money where his mouth is. Which makes me feel better about that move to the Jets. But, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers should have had a long enough association where they said, this is, I'm a Green Bay Packer. I'm going to play here the rest of my career. And you're seeing that less and less now in sports. Very unusual to see a guy play their entire career in one place. That's why being a baseball fan, a Braves fan, I admire Chipper Jones a great deal, because he had all kinds of chances to leave and played his entire career, never wore any other jersey than an Atlanta Braves jersey. I wish you could see more of that.
The Aaron Rodgers situation to me is just a magnificent by him. And listen, I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers fan just because I think he talks too much. And I know he's been on Pat's show numerous times inside and every single week talking about doing mushrooms and all these things. And of course, when he's asked a question about Hard Knocks, he's like, I can't believe they're bringing cameras into our locker room. I'm like, knock it off, dude. You bring a camera into your bedroom. You bring a camera into your life every single week during the offseason. You're fueling this crap. But he is controlling the narrative, right? And so the fact that he took less money to go to the Jets and then actually slopped off $35 million of it just to surround himself with winners makes the Green Bay Packers look like fools. I mean, it makes them look like absolute dolts. And if you're sitting there right now with your quarterback situation, and by the way, they just signed the former quarterback from the USFL and Magoo from the Birmingham Stallions. Congratulations to him. He got signed to the Green Bay Packers yesterday. It makes them look like they're spinning their wheels, and it looks like the Jets maybe could go from that 7-win team to maybe an 11 or 12 point win team to actually vie for a playoff. You know, I understand that also there is a short window here of opportunity. This is not Major League Baseball where you can play 17, 18 years. You can't. For the most part, and I think it's 5 years you're in the league before you're fully vested. And that should tell you something. Where else in life can you go 5 years in anything and be fully vested in anything you're working in? Usually it takes 15, 20 years. I think teachers and police officers is 20 to 25 years you have to work in order to be fully vested. So that should tell you something. And they always say that it's never the first contract, it's the second contract. You've got to make the big bucks in your second contract because it falls after that. You're talking the average football player in the National Football League, this is as of about 3 or 4 years ago, is about 3.5 years for the average football player. Anything beyond that, you're playing with house money. And when you're certainly talking about a Zach Martin, who's an 8-time All-Pro, when you're talking about a Jonathan Taylor, who's averaging nearly 1,300 yards a year on the ground in his last 3 years, and Joe Burrow, who obviously has taken a franchise. Did you realize the Bengals have won 10 playoff games their entire history, and Joe Burrow's won 5 of those?
Unbelievable.
And he's done it in 3 years. So this is a guy you don't want to let go. And I'm sure the Cincinnati Bengals, despite the fact that the Brown family are tight asses and they're incredibly frugal, they will figure out a way to keep Joe Burrow. And Joe knows. He's smart enough to know, I need an offensive line in front of me that's going to protect me. And it has been, talk about playing with house money the last 2 or 3 years. They lost 3 of their guys last year. They brought them back in. They had 12 sacks in the first 4 games of the season. They had 12 sacks the rest of the year. So the guys got better at those positions. So, yeah, I mean, these guys deserve to get their money. But, I mean, I'm a fan. And I'm not gonna pretend, you know, my daughter, we went down to Florida this past week, right? So I said, we got to play the lottery, right? So we played the lottery on Wednesday, and it was $9.5 million. And no one won the lottery on Wednesday. And then I went back and played the lottery on Saturday, and it was $12.5 million. And so my daughter asked the question. She goes, Dad, have you ever won the lottery before? And I said, yes, honey, when I had you. I said, it was the best day of my life. She goes, no, seriously, have you ever won the lottery? I said, no. I said, you got a better shot at being hit by lightning than winning the lottery. And she goes, well, then why do you play? And I said, because you can't win unless you play. The point here, though, is she said, okay, so if it's $12.5 million, what do you win? And I said, well, you win $12.5 million, and then they're going to offer you $7 million as a mass payout so you don't get paid over the course of 20 years. She goes, so you're getting 7.5. And I said, yeah, you're getting 7.5. And then they're going to take taxes out, so you're going to leave with about 4. She said, so out of $12.5 million, you'll come home with $4 million. And I said, yes. And she goes, that sucks. And I said, that's taxes, baby. So when you're talking about a guy making $14 million a year, let's just cut that in half. $7 million, and then obviously you have the cost of living and everything else. So I'm not going to pretend that $14 million to Kip Kiefer, Tony Curry, that's life-changing money. I get that. And so for fans out there like, these guys are making all this money to play a game, I don't get it, blah, 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 blah. Well, consider that by the time they're 32, 33, 34, they're going to age out. and they're going to have the rest of their lives. And you mentioned a great story. You were talking about, you know, the loyalty of the league. Aldo Greco played 19 years with the Houston Oilers and the Tennessee Titans. 19 years as a loyal player. One morning on a Saturday morning, he woke up into his 20th year and saw his name scrolling upon the bottom fishing line there of the ESPN and ESPN.com that said that the Tennessee Titans have released Aldo Greco and put him on waivers. Well, he calls management. He's calling Jeff Fisher, and he's like, Jeff, what the hell's going on? He's like, listen, we didn't tell you because it's no big deal. He said, we put you on waivers just to make up a roster spot. He said, we're going to cut another guy. We're going to bring you back on in about 3 or 4 hours. So don't just chill out. It's all good. It's all good. Well, you know what happened? They never picked him back up again. It was the last. And he was coming off one of his most successful NFL seasons. I think he hit 91% of his kicks. You know, obviously he played in a Super Bowl against those Rams when they came up a yard and a half short. But that's how his NFL career ended, and he didn't get picked up by anyone else. So, you know, it is a what have you done for me lately type of league. In a lot of ways, I like that. I like to see Zeke Elliott just in 2019 sign a big whopping contract and then 2 years later, 3 years later, get dropped, and he's looking for a team to play for. I haven't been a big spoon-fed kind of guy. I'm trying to, obviously, I don't have a camera on me, but the whole spoon thing to the mouth thing, feed me, feed me, feed me. Well, he's not being fed by anyone right now. So, yeah, I understand the business aspect of it, but I would like to appreciate the fact that I think it's more of a game than a sport.
Well, you know, and not to cast more shadows on the discussion in terms of modern day, at least in the NFL and in professional sports, you can't just get disgruntled. Well, you can, but then you won't be playing for a while because you can't just jump organizations. Tony, they have got to get things under control in college football because it's arguably a worse situation now, which is unimaginable considering all of our lives. It has been the absolute taboo to compensate players and recruit players with cash inducements and big promises of great riches. But now a college athlete with the corresponding move to make the transfer portal wide open, basically a college player who's a little bit disgruntled that he's not getting enough money or they're not throwing to him enough, or he's not getting enough love from his coaching staff or whatever, can just arbitrarily decide at the end of the season, I've had enough of this place, I'm out of here, make himself available to the highest bidder, and transfer instantaneously to another team. It's a system of absolute madness that now exists in college sports, and it is there because of the ill preparation of the NCAA and the major conference presidents and athletic directors. This was inevitable. It was coming. It was going to stand up to legal challenge. And they spent millions of dollars fighting this inevitability. And now they are in just a deep hole looking to Congress for help.
Yeah.
Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, and our own Tommy Tuberville, our senator from Alabama, have
drafted. And you would think having a former NCAA coach, a college football coach in there, yes, would actually be helpful. Not so much.
No, not so much. I don't want to bleed into Need to Know here, my political and news and whatever commentary show on TKR, but the government, Tony, is not good at regulating anything. Mm. It's the last place on earth you should look for help. And they're up there with their hat in their hand begging for intercession by Congress. What a disaster.
Well, and on a previous show here, we talked about, is the NCAA, is college football dead? Is college sports dead? It's exactly what we're talking about here on this show.
Yeah.
We're going from something that we've always known as an amateur and an athletic game, and now it's turning into a business, and we hate it because we know what business does to games. It can ruin games for us. That being said, we continue to spend $278 for end zone seats to go watch crappy football games, and as long as we continue to pour money into these sports, they're going to continue to have the TV money and the leverage to continue to turn it into more of a business than a game. And I guess we should be happy because, you know, we've already spoken too. There used to be 2 or 3 games on a year. Now there's 2 or 3 games on every single half an hour on a Saturday, and we absolutely love that. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's like a marriage, right? The game needs the business needs the game, and together, I think they probably go. I do long for those days where winning and victories actually meant something. Coming from a city of Cincinnati, where the Cincinnati Bengals for years didn't care whether they won anything as long as they could put butts in seats, they were good to go. We used to have these things called blackouts. You remember blackouts?
Oh, sure.
You would televise the game in your local market if it was a sellout. It had to be a sellout. And if it yep. wasn't a sellout, then you would not be able to watch your game on television. The team, because they were making more money off television revenue, would actually buy the remaining 3,000 or 4,000 seats, give them away, despite the fact you spent $200 for your seat, just so yeah. it could be televised so they could make that TV market money because they were so close to a sellout. That's what the Cincinnati Bengals and Cincinnati Reds both did that. They could care less. And a lot of people would say that about the Chicago Cubs for a long period of time, and the Boston Red Sox, because they went so long without World Series. As long as yeah. you had 878 continuous sellouts, who the hell cares if you win or not? They didn't care.
Well, that's exactly. Going back further than that, back when money wasn't the absolute ruler of everything, Connie Mack was yep. the manager of the Philadelphia Athletics for 40 years, but he also was co-owner of the team.
Mm-hmm.
His goal, Tony, was to have really good teams every 3 or 4 years and to get enough attendance and revenue. But the downside to that was he didn't want to pay the players for being successful. So he would basically sell all those or trade all those off and be lousy for a couple of years to build back up to that big year again. So the goal was not to be too good and have to pay everybody a bunch of money, but to be good enough just to get a few people in seats. And that was the business model of that franchise for 40 years.
And it worked. I mean, I hate to say it, but it worked. I mean, yeah. It reminds me a little bit of the Miami Marlins that we have now.
Yes.
But they do it about every 8 or 9 years as opposed to every 3 or 4. So, yeah, you know, and I'm glad you brought the college football aspect of it, because hold on to your butts, because this is what we're looking at. We've been saying that college football has been a business for a long period of time, and it has been. It's got to have the business aspects. You need business aspects in anything you run. But the fact that it's fully going to be fledged as more of a business than as a game now kind of scares me a little bit. And it takes, quite frankly, the naivety and the innocence of what we've known as college football for a long period of time. So not too crazy.
Real quick, Nick Saban addressed a group of high school coaches at an event in Montgomery in the spring, and was telling them the story. He's not really told it in the media, but a couple of coaches repeated it, of a player from his team that had been a contributor the last couple of years coming to him right after this past season and saying, "Coach, look, I've got offers to go other places, and I just want to lay out, you know, I'd like to stay here, but I'm going to need," and I can't remember how much money it was, "but, you know, I'm going to need $50,000, and I'm also... my girlfriend is an undergraduate nursing school here. I need to have her tuition paid all the way through graduation."
Yeah.
And Nick Saban supposedly responded this way, at least this is what he told the high school coaches. He said, "Well, if those are your conditions, I think you better go ahead and entertain those other offers."
So no doubt.
So let's hope that there's some coaches that can draw that line. I like what Kirby Smart says, and he's been pretty successful the last 2 years, winning 2 national championships back-to-back. He said, "If I sit down with a recruit and the first thing he talks about is how much money he can make and what his opportunities are financially, I tell myself this really isn't a kid that I'm interested in recruiting." And let's hope that that is maybe the way that this is going to go. You're going to have the pariah schools that, like Texas A&M, who have an unlimited budget that are willing to buy players. You saw how good that worked out for them last year.
Yep.
They had a losing record because they had a bunch of mercenary players. If you got kids that come to your school committed to play football and that's their first priority, great that they make some money. But if that's not the main focus, let's hope that that still is a mentality that's there, that they are there for the game and not necessarily for the business.
That's good to know. There's still our championship players out there. There are players that want to win championships, and they want to do it at every single level. And those are the guys that, obviously, if you want to go play for Memphis and you're making $50,000, good luck to you. If you want to play at Alabama and get a ring on your finger, two out of every 4 years, then you found yourself a home as well. Kip, great stuff, man. Greatly appreciate the show. This is the Kiefer and Curry Show. We do it every single week. Of course, you can also hear Kip on Need to Know. His show runs every single night at 6 o'clock Central Time right here on Tony Curry Radio. The Kiefer and Curry Show runs at 1 o'clock every Monday through Friday. And, of course, we have our big show, The Starting Lineup, with Kip and Tony coming up here on ABC 3340. That'll start the first Saturday in September and runs all the way through the month of December into January. So we're super excited about that as well. Greatly appreciate your time, brother. We'll catch up next week.
Tony, a pleasure as always. Looking forward to our next edition.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.